Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
Courageous call! That's on fourth and five!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studio.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Monday, June the 4th. And we got a great show for you today, as later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Ross Tucker from Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88. Ross is the host of the morning kickoff show on Sirius XM NFL Radio every day, Monday through Friday. Starts at 7 a.m. Every Monday. And then in season, the show actually starts at 6 a.m. So we will talk to Ross about all things Miami Dolphins, get his thoughts on the Miami Dolphins draft, get his thoughts on the Miami Dolphins offseason, some of the guys who are now here, some of the guys who left. So we will be joined by Ross later on in the show. But first, there are a couple things I want to talk about that are happening in the world of the Miami Dolphins. It's been pretty much quiet since I did the podcast on Saturday when we talked about the Bobby McCain extension and when I talked about how Miami signed four of the rookies of their draft class. So not much has happened since then, but there are a couple things worth talking about. The first is sort of a feel-good story out there regarding one of the Miami Dolphins players, and that is Charles Harris. The first-round pick of last year's draft. Charles Harris just seems like an amazing guy, because if you remember on the show, we talked about back in March when Charles Harris bought his mom, who has who is confined to a wheelchair, and she's just been sick for many years. He bought her a new house that was very handicap accessible, and he got her a car that even she can drive in her condition of being confined to a wheelchair and stuff. So Charles Harris did that and was all over the news. Just a great guy. Well, he has gone once again above and beyond, as a report came out over the weekend that Charles Harris, he donated $100,000 to his old high school in part to help renovate their football stadium, as I guess they're going on. I guess they have sort of fallen on hard times, his old high school, and the track that's around the stadium is a mess and just it needs to be redone. And I guess there's a project that's going to cost $3.5 million to help renovate the track, change the field over, put in all new turf, update the scoreboards, update the press box, update all the, and just like a whole bunch of stuff with the stadium. And Charles Harris is part of that. He gave $100,000 of his own money to help with that. And once again, just can't say enough about someone like Charles Harris, who has, since he's been in Miami, has been nothing but a great guy on and off the field. Obviously, last year's a rookie, he only had, I believe, 2 sacks overall. But towards the end of the year, you did see him start to come on. You did see him create pressure. And of course, everyone remembers the big Monday night game late in the year. I think it was week 14 or 15 against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Harris, he didn't record a sack that game, but he put pressure on Tom Brady all night. Had Tom Brady running for his life. Made Tom Brady make some throws off his not in rhythm. So Charles Harris, I think, is going to be in store for a big year in 2018. Just from how he ended last year, and you saw it on the field, it start to click and him start to grow and sort of develop. But I did want to talk about this because, look, it's a great story. We always hear about, you know, so-and-so in the league, he's getting arrested, or this guy was caught with this, or this guy was caught with that. It's always nice to read a feel-good story about one of the, about someone on the Miami Dolphins who's doing good off the field. And so far with Charles Harris in his short time in Miami, we have a few of those stories about him. He's someone who's very, very easy to root for. Seems like a great guy. And look, $100,000 is $100,000, and that's a lot of money. So for Charles Harris to give $100,000 to his high school to help renovate the stadium and the track, that's just a great thing. And like I said, we have the story and we have some video up on our website, so check it out at our website, DolphinsTalk.com. So you can go up there and check that out. And I think there was a quote or two. Charles said, "High school is where it all began for me. This is a great opportunity for me to give back to my high school, to my community, for me to say to others that it's okay, it's cool." So Charles Harris helping out his old high school. So I wanted to point that out because it's not often you see these great stories about some of the players in the NFL. And I think when there are great and when there are things like this, they should have a spotlight shined on them too. Because look, a lot of these guys, they do stuff like this, but it's often overshadowed or not seen because of the negative stories we always hear. So I just wanted to put a little spotlight on Charles Harris and say great work. And I'm sure the people at his old high school are very grateful for the $100,000 he gave. The other story I want to talk about here real quick is regarding Jason Taylor, former Miami Dolphin, went to the Hall of Fame last year. He was at an event this weekend for the NFL, the Hyundai Youth Football Camp. And when he was speaking to the media, he was asked about the Miami Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill. And Jason Taylor came out very strong in support of Ryan Tannehill. Very, very strong. And he pretty much put some people in the media who I think who were asking the question, hoping to get one response. I think he sort of put them in their place. And he gave a strong, he came out in strong support of Ryan Tannehill. And I just want to go over some of the quotes here. "People can say whatever they want. They want to replace him. And I'm like, who are you going to get? Tannehill is in the top half of the league in quarterbacks under center." So he said that, and here's the other quote. "Sometimes people don't understand what they have until it's gone." And the last quote from Jason Taylor, "Look back a couple years ago when they were in the playoffs and the progression he was on with Adam Gase." So, and he goes, "Hopefully he jumps right back on path," and he continues with that. And there was a few other quotes he gave. I won't read them all, but essentially, he came out in very strong support of Ryan Tannehill, which, again, I think inside of South Florida and Miami, us fans understand Tannehill's not the biggest problem with the Dolphins. That, yes, he's not one of the top-end guys like a Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Breeze. We all understand that. But when you look at this roster the past, you know, 3 years or so, Tannehill's been very good. Very, very good. And he hasn't been the main issue with this team. And I think once you start to talk to people in the national media some, they sort of have a sort of view about him from a distance that doesn't match up with what the people closer to the situation sort of know and understand. So Jason Taylor came out strong supporter of Ryan Tannehill. And I'm going to talk about this a little with Ross Tucker in a few minutes from SiriusXM NFL Radio as we discuss Ryan and what his future in Miami and stuff maybe. But it's nice to see Jason Taylor come out in strong support of Ryan Tannehill. And because look, we all agree, when he was healthy and before he got hurt, Ryan was playing the best ball of his life. And hopefully now with his knee healed, he can sort of jump right back in, pick up where he left off, and continue to improve and be that guy. He'll never be a top-end guy, but that's fine. You don't need him to be. Just be a guy who can help the Miami Dolphins win a bunch of games. Because as I always say on this podcast, last year, as bad as it was for the Miami Dolphins, and it was a long year with everything from the hurricane and our offensive line coach getting caught with whatever he was doing there in his office, with before the first game of the year, we lost our linebacker who just left and took off and went AWOL. With all the drama that went on, this team still won 6 games with Jay Cutler and Matt Moore. So even if he would have played last year, Ryan Tannehill, there's no doubt in my mind they are at least 8-8. There's no doubt. Even with no off week, not having their first home game till October, with everything that went on off the field, If he would have played, they would have won 8-8, no doubt in my mind, if not even a little bit better maybe, because he is just light years better than guys like Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. So heading into this year, I would think Miami's going to be looking at, you know, no worse than 8-8, I would say, and hopefully a little bit better, and hopefully a run at the playoffs. But, you know, people in the national media still have that view of him that he's just not any good, Ryan Tannehill. He's just not any good. And I think the people who follow the league closely know better. I think people who follow the Miami Dolphins closely know a little bit better. And I think most of the smart fans, I'll say it that way nicely, know a little bit better that Ryan isn't the issue with this team. This team has a lot of issues the past few years. It's been the offensive line. It's been the linebackers. It's been a ton of issues. Ryan Tannehill hasn't been the main issue. Hopefully this year the knee's fine, he's healthy, because I do think with him healthy, they can make a run at the playoffs. I think they are that type of team. Of course, time will tell and we'll see. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, I will be joined by Ross Tucker from SiriusXM NFL Radio Channel 88 as we talk all things Miami Dolphins.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the hotline today is Ross Tucker of SiriusXM NFL Radio Channel 88. Ross, how are you doing today?
Mike, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you listening. I see your tweets from time to time. There's Dolphins fans everywhere. They got one of the most rabid fan bases, which is awesome. And I know a bunch of Dolphins fans listen to my podcast, like the Ross Tucker Football Podcast as well. So it's cool. You guys have quite the crew.
Yes, we do. We have a big fan base, and you guys over there at SiriusXM have been great to us. We've had on our show before Zig Fercassi. I've been on the air before when Jim Miller and Pat have their fan mock draft. I've been on the past few years as the representative for the Miami Dolphins and stuff. So you guys are all great over there and are so kind. And I do thank you tonight for a few moments of your time. So let's talk about the Miami Dolphins some. This offseason, there's been a lot of guys who have been familiar faces to the Dolphins who have left. And we got some new faces. And let's start off at wide receiver. Obviously, Landry is no longer in Miami, and they brought in some guys to replace him in Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola. What are your thoughts on that? And were you a bit surprised that Miami didn't make a move to try and retain Jarvis Landry a little more, and that they just let him go so easily almost?
I was, yeah. I mean, I guess I was definitely surprised by the trade compensation, you know, because even if you just let him go in free agency, you know, a year from now, he would have probably netted you a compensatory third-round pick. So it was like a fourth and a seventh rounder, right?
Correct.
And I know a lot of Dolphins fans said at the time, well, yeah, but if we sign free agents, then it won't net us a third-round pick. But I don't know that they've really signed enough guys, and certainly not at the level Landry would have been at, that it would have negated the Landry signing. I think they would have ended up getting a third-round pick next year. So I don't really totally understand it, to be honest with you. They clearly did not value him as much as the Cleveland Browns do. I just felt like he was so durable, so reliable, so consistent, and I think you could argue that he was the Dolphins' best offensive player. He's just entering his prime, And it just seems to me like most of the good teams keep those guys. You know, the flip side is I can understand them feeling like that position in that offense is not worth that much money. And I think that's pretty clearly what they decided. It is interesting, though, to have that in the Bobby McCain news where they made him the highest paid nickel corner in the league. So they clearly value nickel corner at a high level, but they didn't value, you know, slot receiver at that high of a level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with Landry, too, there were some other things, I think, behind the scenes that maybe aren't known. I know there was some reports of he was a bit of a hothead. He would always get that occasional 15-yard penalty at the worst possible time. There's stuff like that. And I think week 16 last year, he got in a shouting match on the field with the head coach late in the game. And then the final game of the year, he was thrown out of the game for a brawl. So there was, I think it was more than just on the field stuff. I do think there were some things behind the scenes that they were just a little nervous of paying him so much money. It's like, can we trust him? But yes, he was by far the best offensive player on this team the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, by far. Very
consistent. You know what, though, Mike, you make a really good point, because if that's the way Landry, and there's always, it doesn't mean the organizations are always right, but they always definitely have access to more information than we do.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That doesn't mean they're infallible, right? And that every decision they make is the right one. I don't believe that. But I do believe that they have more information. And a lot of times they do know whether it's an attitude issue or a work ethic issue. And what I would tell you is, if that's the way Landry was acting the last couple games, when he was going to be a free agent and was trying to get paid, how do you think he's going to act when he gets bleep you money, you know, such that he's untouchable for a couple years because of the guaranteed money that it would entail?
Absolutely.
And I think that probably was very concerning to the Dolphins. It's like, wait a minute, this guy should be on his best behavior to get paid, and he's acting like this. What's he going to be like when he gets so much money that he knows we can't touch him for a couple years? And so I'm sure that was a factor. And a lot of times things like that are a factor.
Yep. And what are your thoughts on some of the guys they signed, like Wilson and Tamandola to replace him?
Yeah, you know, those guys, it's interesting because I think those guys complement each other well. I picture Amendola being, you know, the chain mover, the guy that is reliable on third down, more the dink and dunk guy. And Albert Wilson can really run. I mean, he can fly. So Albert Wilson sort of gives them a different element when he's in the slot. I like the idea of having two different guys in the slot. It's almost like, you know, they've got the fastball and the changeup, if you will, or the fastball and the curve. And you know, if you have a nickel corner, they're going to be able to throw two very different guys at him, such that, you know, a lot of nickel corners are very good change of direction and quickness, because that's what you have to be in the slot. But that doesn't mean they run as well if the guy's going to run right down the seam, you know, like an Albert Wilson's capable of. So I think that the Dolphins, rather than having just Jarvis Landry, who was excellent but also always just one speed, if you will, I think that they feel like they got a couple different pitches they can throw now at that position.
Absolutely. And with Wilson, we had him on the podcast last week. First off, just a great guy, super nice guy, and he does a ton of stuff off the field in the community. Just a great guy. But I think he's going to be someone who's going to have more opportunities now in Miami than he ever had with the Chiefs. So I think there's the potential there for him to really come onto the scene, because he was a very good player with the Chiefs, but he didn't have a lot of opportunities in that offense just because of what they ran down there. But I think in Miami, I think he's going to have more opportunities there. Obviously, when you talk about the Dolphins, it always comes back to the quarterback spot. Last year, for all intents and purposes, their season ended when Ryan went down in August. What are your thoughts on Tannehill as he now returns? And are you a little bit surprised they didn't do more to address the number two quarterback spot on this team as they head into the year with guys like Osweiler, Bryce Petty, and such?
No, I'm not. I think they made the right move with Tannehill. And I think he deserves the opportunity to see if he can build on what he did in 2016. And especially after they restructured his contract, I wouldn't have, drafted a quarterback. I know there was a lot of speculation they might have taken one at 11. I thought the draft worked out very well for them, getting Minka Fitzpatrick at 11 and not getting a quarterback and having people jump in front of them to get a quarterback. I think Tannehill deserves this year. Gase has some familiarity with Osweiler. And I think they recognize that if Tannehill proves this year he's not the guy, that either in free agency or in the draft next year, they're getting a new starter and probably didn't think, that it made that much sense to invest that many resources. Like, give me some names, Mike, of backup quarterbacks you would have rather them have gotten. I mean, I guess you could argue that why do the Jets have Bridgewater as a number three?
That was the name I was going to mention.
When he could be the Dolphins number two. And I think the answer to that would be I want two things. One is I don't think Osweiler was getting paid nearly as much as Bridgewater's $6 million.
No, not even close. Not even close.
So that's part of it, right? And then number two, do you really want to have both quarterbacks coming off knee surgeries, or having knee injuries? And also, I think that they wanted Tannehill to be the clear-cut guy, not looking over his shoulder. They didn't want the conversation to be, is there a quarterback competition? Is there, when are you going to bench Ryan? I think they wanted Ryan to just totally have, his opportunity to show what he could do. And I'm fine with that. I really am.
Yeah, because I think, and this is probably true for most teams, if he goes down this year, their season's going to be very much like it was last year, maybe win 4, 5, 6 games. Just like for most teams, if they lose their number one guy, not everybody is built like Philadelphia was last year or Minnesota, where they can sustain an injury.
You know what? You're right. And you're right, Mike. And the Dolphins aren't that kind of team.
Correct.
And by the way, I mean, you want to win as many games as possible, but if he gets hurt, what's the value in going 6-10 or 7-9 instead of 4-12?
There's no value.
The Jets had to give up 3 second-round picks just because they played McCown instead of Teddy or Hattiesburg, and they won a couple games, so they went 5-11 and had to give up 3 really valuable second-round picks as a result. Like that, it did not help them. Like I think that they should have played, frankly, Petty and Hackenberg. And really giving those guys every opportunity to show what they could do. And if you win 3, if you go 3-13, 2-14, so be it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Because they gave up a lot of picks, and now they have the quarterback, but they don't have much around him in New York for that quarterback. And that's going to take time to get the guys all around him, the pieces around him, because there's really not much on that offense, which you can pretty much say as well for the Bills as well, but they went to the playoffs at least last year, so they had a little success. Talking about Miami's draft, what were your thoughts on that, on some of the picks they made? Obviously, like you said, Fitzpatrick in round one. In the second round, they took the tight end out of Penn State, Mike Gesicki, and then, of course, in round 3, the linebacker from Ohio State, Jerome Baker. What were your thoughts on the draft? Was it one that you liked, and just some of your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked it. I told you about Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, you start right away at Alabama as a true freshman. You're a special, special player. He made so many plays, especially as a true sophomore. I think he's a star in the NFL. Then you look at Gesicki. You know, I live near Penn State. I live in central Pennsylvania. I watch every snap the guy played the last 4 years. And he is a truly rare, rare athlete that I think will really help Tannehill, especially in the red zone. I mean, he's got some Jimmy Graham to him.
Absolutely.
Now he needs to refine his route running a little bit, and he's a terrible blocker, but he basically will be yet another type of slot receiver, you know, like another pitch, if you will, that they can throw in the slot at teams. So I like him quite a bit as well. And then I was surprised, you know, every time I watched Jerome Baker, he was flying around making plays, and I thought, I didn't get a chance to really study him, but I thought this is like a new wave linebacker. You know,
he absolutely is.
Can really run, athletic. There were people that said that they felt like he was very inconsistent, and he had some games where he'd really get caught up in the wash, caught up in blocks, wouldn't make plays, didn't seem like he was totally focused in. But, man, I don't know. I must have seen the other ones because he was lights out in the games I watched.
Yeah, he's got that speed, sideline to sideline, which is what you need these days in the NFL with the type of offenses being ran. You need guys out there who can chase down the football, and that's what he is. He is a little small, so I understand that, but he's got speed. And last year, Miami's linebackers were a mess, and now they will have him in the mix, and they also get back their second-round pick last year who never played in Raekwon McMillan. So they have the two guys from Ohio State now in the mix at linebacker, which should help them immensely there because they were really bad at linebacker last year. Last one for you, Ross, is the head coach is Adam Gase. As he enters year three now in Miami, obviously year one, he went to the playoffs and it was all great. Last year, a little bit of a struggle, obviously. What are your thoughts on him as a head coach, and what are some things about him that you like and such?
I think he's a good coach. I think he's well respected by the team, which I think is really important. You know, they went for it with Cutler last year. I understood it, even though I'm not a Cutler fan. It did not really work out. You can never throw away an NFL season, or I can't just say, well, it doesn't matter. But I think we'll learn a lot more about Adam this year. I would imagine that if things don't go well this year, that he would probably be on the hot seat going into 2019. But I can't really foresee a scenario whereby they would move on from him after this year. I think if things don't go well this year, I think they'll move on from Ryan Tannehill, not Adam Gase.
Yes, I see that as well, because I think they love Adam Gase down there. And I think this year, because after last year, he changed over a lot of his staff as well. I think he got rid of six or seven assistants. So he brought in guys he's more comfortable with. Some guys he worked with in Chicago. Some guys he worked with the when he was with the Broncos. So he has his staff in place, I think, now for the first time. Guys he has worked with in the past. And I think now we're going to see the real Adam Gase. I think we're going to see him more comfortable as a head coach. And I think this year, looking at the schedule, if they don't lose their quarterback again, I think they're going to be in that mix of, you know, 8 wins, 9 wins. If some things fall their way, great. Maybe they win a couple more. If some things don't, maybe they win a couple less. But I think they'll be in the mix for a wild card for sure. And we'll see how it plays out. Ross, thanks so much tonight for a few moments of your time. I really appreciate everyone. Be sure to check out Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter, at his website, rosstucker.com. And of course, every day on Sirius XM NFL Radio Channel 88, Ross Tucker on the morning show, I think, which starts at what, 7 o'clock?
Yeah, 7 o'clock in the off season, 6 a.m.
Correct.
During the season. And, of course, you can also – I have a fantasy podcast with Evan Silva from Roto-World called The Fantasy Feast. I have a gambling one for people that are into that called Even Money.
Everyone's going to be into that soon.
Game.com. I know, right? I got Andrew Brandt does the Business of Sports podcast for me. So we got a bunch of them. Just go to rostucker.com. You can see all the podcasts. I got a college draft podcast with Fran Duffy, a video scouting guru for the Eagles. So it's fun, man. I'm just trying to avoid a real job as long as I possibly can.
And you're doing a great job with it as well, because all the work is great. I love listening to you every morning out of my way to work. So keep up the great work, and we'll have you on again sometime. Sometime again, Ross. Have a great night.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Mike.
No problem.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Again, I would like to thank Ross Tucker from SiriusXM NFL Radio Channel 88 for joining me on the podcast to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Ross is a great guy, and we will have him on the podcast down the road again for sure. And everyone, be sure to listen to Ross Tucker at SiriusXM NFL Radio every morning, 7 a.m. this time of year at least, at 7 o'clock in the morning, and listen to his show as well as visit his website, RossTucker.com. This time of year is kind of slow with the news, so I'm not quite sure when we'll have the next podcast. You will probably have one up either Wednesday or Thursday. Obviously, if news breaks of any kind before that, we'll just have a show up that day. But I am working on a few other guests to have on the podcast to talk about the Miami Dolphins. Just trying to finalize that. So we'll probably have a show up either Wednesday or Thursday this week. Not quite 100% sure right now. So be on the lookout for that. As always, check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. And we got a bunch of new articles up as well recently, so check out all that work. And to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Once again, at DolphinsTalk. And if you want to send me an email, I can be reached via email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. You can reach out to me that way as well. Everyone, have a great rest of your day. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.